few minutes ago, I mentioned Herman Hospital in Houston, Texas. Many years ago, on one end of the hospital, my father was born in that same hospital. On the other end of the hospital was his father, who had recently been injured in an oil field accident, and his lung had been punctured. They were trying to save his life, and he got worse and worse. And where a couple of weeks later, my grandfather passed away, a man I never knew, never met. But the strange thing about it is that had he hung on just a few more weeks, he would have been able to live because penicillin had come to Herman Hospital, and it would have saved his life. He died not from the injury itself, but from the infection that set in. And penicillin became a game changer. Many of us are alive today because of the invention, the discovery of penicillin and other antibiotics like that. Well, there are game changers that we need to know about in life that are spiritual in nature, not just physical. Those are important. But far more important are the game changers that are going to make a difference in your life. And that's what we've been studying over the last several weeks. First and foremost, we talked about the game changer of salvation, where a man, a woman, it's possible for you who is dead in sin, who is separated from God because of sin, that your sin can be forgiven and you can have a relationship with the one true living Creator, Redeemer God, made possible through what Christ did for us. Secondly, we talked about the game changer of discipleship. How horrible it would be for a person to stay in a state of infancy. That would be abnormal. And it's true spiritually. God wants you to grow. God wants you to mature. He wants you to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Not just make a commitment to do that, but to actually do it, to live it out. Another game changer is God's Word. There's power in the Word of God. It brings life. The Bible says of itself that it's living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces into our lives. It exposes us, and it also brings healing to our lives. I want to say parenthetically thank you to Kevin for filling in for me last week. I had the opportunity to attend my wife's nephew's graduation at the University of Arkansas, and her parents live there as well in Fayetteville, so Mother's Day, it just worked out that we could be there. And I want to thank Billy and the team for filling in for Gabe. He was at the other end of the earth. He was at the beach and in Florida enjoying life there. But it's always good to have a team that can step in and really continue what we're doing here in our ministry. But the Word of God is very important. It's a game changer. But today we're going to talk about prayer. There's power in prayer. And many Christians live powerless lives because they live prayerless lives. There's power in prayer. And I want to help you today. I want not just to try to convict you of the need to pray. I don't want you to walk out feeling guilty that you're not praying. I want to teach you how to pray. And the way that I want to teach you is from Scripture that comes from God's Word. And it's also a reflection of another prayer that had been prayed many years ago. But let me give you some assumptions about prayer as we begin. Jack Taylor gives four. First of all, no believer's spiritual life will rise to stay above the level of his praying. No church's ultimate effectiveness will rise to stay above the level of its corporate prayer life. No church's corporate prayer life will be greater than the personal prayer lives of those who make up its constituency. And no believer's prayer life will rise to stay above the level of his or her own personal, regular, daily time of worship with God. Well, somebody might say here today, I don't know how to pray. Or I don't know if I'm praying the right way. Or I don't feel any power when I pray. I don't know if I'm praying effectively. Remember, James says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Well, does that mean I'm not a righteous person? What does that exactly mean? I'm not feeling that power. Well, the disciples felt exactly the same way. They saw Jesus communicate with God in such a way that they knew there was power in Jesus' prayer life and that he was able to talk to the living God and God to him. And so they asked him to do one thing. They asked Jesus to teach them one thing. They did not ask Jesus to teach them how to be a great soul winner. They didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to memorize God's Word. They could have asked him many other things, but what they did ask is, Lord, teach us how to pray. They knew there was something about prayer that was a game changer, that made a difference. Well, how should we pray? Well, there are two models of prayer that I want to show you. One is the Lord's Prayer, and I'm not going to show it to you in the way that we sung it just a minute ago. But it's important to remember that the Lord's Prayer, Jesus did not give that for us to memorize and recite the prayer and that be the epitome of our prayer life. When they asked, teach us how to pray, and he gave that prayer, it was a model of prayer. There are principles in there in our prayer life that need to be demonstrated. So the way that I want to help us understand that is with an acronym, and it's the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. So some of you know how to pray, but you're not sure if you're praying the right way. And some of you are going to find out today that, well, maybe I'm not praying the right way. Maybe I'm doing some things that need to change in my prayer life so it'll become more powerful, more effective. Some of you are not praying, and I want to teach you how to begin, how to really get started and get momentum in your prayer life. And everybody in this room can do that. A child can do this. A child came up to me after this hour of worship, and he learned in his life group class how to pray. You know what he showed me? He showed me a cards that were flip cards. And on Sunday, he prays for his family. And on Monday, he prays for his friend. On Tuesday, he prays for his pastors. I said, that's me. Don't forget that. That's me. And on and on. I thought, man, this is fantastic. I didn't know they were going to teach him about prayer the same day I'm preaching about prayer. But see, that's how God works. That's how God brings it together for even a child to learn how to pray. So let's look at the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. First is adoration, Psalmist says in Psalm 34:1, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Now, when you enter someone's house, you acknowledge that they are there. You acknowledge who they are. And it's important to do that. Think about going to somebody's house and just they open the door and you just walk in. Don't say anything. Just rush into the house. I think I may have shared with you that several years ago in Mississippi, my younger sister, Hazel, her family, six kids, they moved one house over from us. 4th of July was the day they arrived, and I was cooking burgers in the back for my family, and the doorbell rang. Nobody answered the door. I went to the door. The first one said, hey, Uncle Mark, and then the other five, six of them ran right through the house. None of them acknowledged me. And I sat there and said, I can't believe y'all did that to me. No, I didn't say that. I tried to work with them, and we fed them, cooked more burgers, and it was a great experience. But it was a good illustration for me of how oftentimes I rush into prayer and I'm not acknowledging God. When we enter into his courts, David said, we enter into his courts with what? Praise. We enter into his presence. We acknowledge who he is. And the word adoration simply means praise. It is acknowledging God. And there are some biblical words for praise. Let me give you a few. The word praise itself, or exalt, laud, hallelujah, that means praise to Yahweh. Rejoice, worship, alleluia, with an A is another form of hallelujah. Exalt, adore, hosanna, ascribe, honor, magnify, majesty, bless, glorify. All those give us the idea of praise or adoration. So as we're praying, we need to maybe even use some of those words. Another way that we can adore him in our prayer life or praise him is to call out the attributes of God. You know, it's really hard to define God. It's impossible to define God. And the closest way that we can understand who God is by his attributes that are defined for us in Scripture. And these are the words concerning the attributes of God that can be used as we praise him, as we adore him. Let me share some of these with you. He's able, almighty, abounding in love, all-knowing, all-powerful, always present, attentive, awesome, beautiful, blameless, blessed, compassionate, consuming fire, enthroned, eternal, ever-present, exalted, faithful, first, flawless, forgiving, gentle, glorious, good, gracious, authority, integrity, healing, holy, indescribable, invisible, jealous, just, kind, last, light, living, majestic, merciful, mighty, patient, peaceful, perfect, protective, pure, radiant, righteous, slow to anger, spirit, strong, supreme, sure, tender, true, understanding, unfailing love, unique, wise, wonderful, worthy of praise. Now that's God, and that's who we worship, and we adore Him, and we use those words, we use the attributes of God, but we can also, in adoring Him and praising Him, use the names of God. And notice these names that we find in the Old Testament. We find the word God. That word is often translated from the Hebrew word Elohim. It's used in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God, Elohim. That means that God is the source of everything, not just in creation of the world, but He's the source of everything. He is Lord Adonai. That means that He is God as master or owner. He is Lord Jehovah. Jehovah means that He is self-existent. He always has been, He always is, and will always be. This was the name that God used when Moses asked, "Who do I say is sending me?" When he speaks to the Hebrews and when he speaks to Pharaoh himself. And what did God say in the burning bush? "You tell them, I am sent you. I am." And it is this word Jehovah that He is whatever He needs to be at the moment. And whatever He needs to be to us, He is the great I am. He is Jehovah. Well, in the Hebrew text, there are compound names using the word Jehovah that we can pray to God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Jehovah Rophe, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Emkadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Jehovah Tzidken, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is there. So if God says, I am, we say, you are, and to others we say, He is. He is the great I am. And that's the best news that anyone could ever hear, that whatever we need in life, He is the great I am. And that's why we worship Him. I adore you as the great I am. I praise you for who you are. Now we also in the New Testament can adore the Lord through the names of Jesus. Seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am. He's tying it back to God at the burning bush, that He is one with God. He is the same God. When He uses this word in the New Testament form, I am. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Let me just say there, what was Jesus doing? As God provided the manna in the Old Testament for the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, the manna was the bread of life for them. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, the eternal bread of life. I am the light of the world. Again, that goes back to the pillar of cloud in the Old Testament. I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. So listen, we have much to praise God about. When you think about your prayer life, think about how much time you could spend just praising God for who He is. When you pray, do you just rush in and ask Him about all the things that you want? Or do you walk in acknowledging who He is? That's why David said, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. So A is adoration. That's where we begin when we pray. Second is confession. C stands for confession. Now, what is confession? It is simply agreeing with God. Now, specifically, it's agreeing with God about our sin. He convicts me, and I say, yes, Lord. Yes, you're right. I have sinned. Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, when he got into the presence of God, then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined because I am a man of unclean lips. He's acknowledging that he is a sinner. David said this in Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abounding compassion. Blot out my rebellion. Wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. So it's a passage of Scripture that we can pray when we're confessing our sin to God. Then John writes these words in 1 John chapter 1. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, agree with God about our sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, that is great news. It's awesome. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. God has said we have sinned. We say we have not sinned. We're saying God's a liar about convicting us of our sin. Who would dare say that? But that's what, in effect, we're doing. Confession, see, is critical for our spiritual health. So we need to pray that God will convict us of our sin. Sometimes we know the sin. And listen, you don't wait till the end of the day or the next day to confess your sin. When you feel conviction, you immediately confess that, yes, I have sinned. I immediately respond to that, as I have many times, and we agree with them. Now, remember three things about this idea of confession. Who do I confess to about my sin? The Bible says that we should confess our sins to one another. Well, how many sins, how often do I do that, and who do I do that to? Well, let me help you with that. If we sin against God, we confess that to God, and we make it right with God. If we sin against an individual, then we confess that to God, and then we make it right with that individual. If we sin against a group, we confess that to God, and then we confess that before the group. There's some sins that don't need to be confessed to the group because it did not affect the group, but it affected one person, maybe two or three. We go to those who we've sinned against and make those things right with them. So here are some important steps about confession and how it helps us in our spiritual walk and our spiritual growth. First, there is confession when we're convicted. Then there is cleansing, 1 John 1:9. Then we're able to experience joy. There's peace that I'm right with God, and that leads to power. I can move on in my spiritual life, and when that happens, I am renewed, or I experience personal revival. Well, the same thing happens in a church as well. And notice that if we want renewal or revival in our lives, it begins with confession. It begins with the need to make things right with God. I don't have time to get into all this, but you know, often we use the word revival in a church, and we think of that, we interpret that as people being saved, that's revival. That's not the biblical definition of revival. That's a byproduct of revival. Revival is when God's people repent of their sin, they get right with God, and then they experience His joy and His power, cleansing power in their life, and that's when they are renewed. And as a result, others see that, and they want to be a part of that in their life. So that's where revival starts, renewal starts for us. All right, adoration, confession. Next, after I confess my sin, there is thanksgiving. Now notice these scriptures from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, proclaim his deeds among the peoples. Adoration is praising God for who he is. Thanksgiving is acknowledging what God has done. Adoration is saying, you are God. Thanksgiving is saying, I acknowledge and I'm grateful that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin. Now, how do we thank him? Well, first of all, you thank him for his spiritual provisions. His spiritual provisions. In Psalm 103, verse 3, notice David says, he forgives all your sin, all your sin. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with goodness. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. So we thank him for spiritual provisions. We thank him for physical provisions. When Jesus prayed, give us this day our daily bread. That's what we're asking for, our daily bread. God, here are my needs. Well, at the end of the day, we need to thank him for how he met our needs. Now, he met our needs. Now, he may not have met the needs you thought you had for that day, but he met the needs that you needed to have been met. And he met all of those. And if there are others that need to be met, he'll meet those in his due time. He'll always meet our needs, and he'll always answer our prayers. He didn't say how or when. He said he would do it, and he'll be faithful to do that. We give thanks for all things as well, good or bad. Paul said in Ephesians, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is that? Romans 8:28, all things, good, bad, or ugly, work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In the bad, God is at work for our good. And we thank him for that, and we praise him for that. I don't like it. I'm not happy about it. But here's how I pray that. God, thank you that in the midst of all this mess right now, I can trust you, and I know that you're at work. And help me. Help me to see your perspective. Help me to get through this. But I thank him. I don't want it to happen. I don't like it. I'm not happy about it. But that's what we mean when we say we thank him for all things. So Thanksgiving is important because it creates a healthy attitude. It maintains a healthy attitude. Bitter people don't give praise. Grateful people give praise. Bitter people don't give praise. But grateful people give praise. We give thanks to the Lord. Well, the last word is the word supplication. S is for supplication. Here's how Paul describes that. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, that verse is full of stuff right there. Now, what is supplication? Well, supplication is simply asking God. That's what we do. Now, notice, this is last, not first. We don't rush in asking God for stuff. It's the last thing that we do. After we have praised him, given our adoration to him, and we have confessed our sin, and we've thanked him for what he's done. See, it's all God-centered. Now we're in a position to say, Lord, now here's my need. Here's where I am. Now notice some principles from this one verse in Philippians 4. We should ask God because asking removes worry. He says, don't worry, ask. Don't worry. You see, when I'm asking God, I'm acknowledging who he is. I'm transferring the problem from me to him. So when I'm praying, it's removing the worry from me onto him. Then we should ask God. He says, with prayer and petition. That's what those words mean, that we ask him. Then we should ask God regardless of the circumstances. He says, in everything. We should ask God with gratitude. He says, with thanksgiving. That implies humility. It implies submission to his will. we should ask God with specific requests. He says, let your request be made known to Him. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't see God answering my prayer. And often I've found that that's true because they're praying in general ways. God bless my family. Versus, God, my kid's going through this situation in school with this other person. And Lord, here's where I need help. I need help, first of all, that you'll help my child know how to respond. You'll help me know how to respond. And I need to know exactly how to handle this and what to say. Well, that's different from blessing my family. So you won't see God bless your family that way. But when your child comes home and says, Daddy, let me tell you what happened. Mommy, let me tell you what happened at school today with my friend. And then you say, well, what happened? Well, they came to me and they said they were sorry for what they said or did. And you're going to see the power of God. That's the power of God. That's answered prayer. That's a specific prayer that has been answered, and you're going to believe God answers prayer. Well, what about the prayer that hasn't been answered? God is at work. Don't worry about that. You just begin to pray specifically, and He's going to answer specifically, and you're going to begin to believe in prayer. It will motivate you to pray all the more and keep praying, and you're going to see God. Listen, it's a game changer when you're praying like that, when you're praying specifically. So get your notepads out and start writing down specific prayer requests when the date that you prayed it, and then when God answers it, you'd write down the date that He did answer it. And then at the end of the year, get your journal out and open it up. And think, wow, look how God answered all these prayers. You'll be amazed of how God answers prayer and how He works in that. And we should ask God because of His love and power. He says we pray to God. What does that mean? Acknowledging who He is. That God is all powerful. God is all loving. He can handle it. Supplication is not just asking God for things, but it's also interceding for others. The New Testament teaches that intercession is expected of all believers, that we're praying for others. Here's how Paul said that to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He said, first of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good. And it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, a man, Christ Jesus. We pray for others. All of us are to do that. Intercession for the sick is important. James says this, is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. Several have done that over the years, even in this church, where we've prayed in that way over those who were sick. Paul prayed for the recipients of his letters. Jesus interceded for his followers in John 17. The Holy Spirit right now intercedes on our behalf. Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And He who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, because He intercedes for the saints, that's us, according to the will of God. And also, Jesus right now is interceding on your behalf. Paul said in Romans 8, He is also at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. The writer of Hebrews says this, therefore He is always able to save those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to intercede for them. So much there, I need to move on. But intercession is so important in this aspect of supplication. Remember what James said, you do not have because you do not ask. So we need to ask God. Let's go back to the first point I was making earlier. We need to remember who we're praying to, the great I Am. He's able to handle any request that you make to Him. Well, some of you have never prayed, and you're going to pray right now. I'm gonna get my microphone and I'm gonna walk around. No, I'm not gonna do that. We've learned how to pray. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. So we're gonna do that right now. I want you to bow your head. I want you to close your eyes in an attitude of prayer. I want you to get real still. I don't want you to respond to any device that goes off over the next couple of minutes. All right? Here's what I want you to do. Let's practice this quietly where you are. I want you to give your adoration to God. Now, you may want to look at your notes, and there are some names there maybe you wrote down of God, names of Jesus, some words of praise. God, I exalt you. I magnify you. I bless you. That's what we're doing when we adore him, when we praise him. You do that right now. You acknowledge who he is in your own words. Now I want you to confess your sin. Probably when I talked about this a minute ago, you became keenly aware of sin that's not been confessed. You've not agreed with God. Yes, Lord, I did that. I said that. I thought that. And if you're not sure, ask him to show you any sin that needs to be confessed. And he'll be faithful to do that. Embrace that. Don't make excuses for it. Acknowledge it. Agree with him. But confess that to him. Before I move to Thanksgiving, let me just say, the reason why confession is important before supplication is that we don't want anything hindering our prayers to God. We want to make sure that we're right with God when we come to ask of him whatever we need. Now, thank him. Thank him for what he's done. Thank him for saving you. You may not be able to thank him for very much today, but you can thank him that he saved you if you are saved, if you're a Christian. Thank him that he loves you. Thank him for answering specific prayers you've been praying. But thank him. Now, what is it that you need God to do? Ask him. Ask him believing. Ask him with the right motive. Ask him according to his will, as Jesus prayed. Ask him. Maybe somebody just said to God, Lord, my request, I need to ask you that I be saved, that I begin a relationship with you, that I begin a conversation with you. And you need to give your heart to the Lord. And I want to help you do that in just a moment. You may not know what to say or do, but I'm going to ask you to come to one of our pastors here in just a moment, and they'll be able to help you as you make that commitment of your life to him. Many of you know the Lord, and so even in this attitude of prayer right now, ask God this one thing. God, now, I want to hear from you. What is it you want to say to me? Hopefully, you've already realized he's been speaking to you by his Spirit and through his word about praying. What you've heard is from God. God has been speaking to your heart. But maybe there's something specific you need God to talk to you about. He may not put that impression in your heart now. It might be later today. It might be in the middle of the night. It might be a week, a month from now. I don't know. But ask him. Remember, it's a two-way street. Prayer is. There might be some who are here today that God is leading you to become part of our church family. We want to help you grow in your faith. We want you to experience the game changers in your life that you need. We want you to be a part of a church that focuses on the gospel of Jesus Christ here and around the world. We'd love for you to be a part of what God's doing here. And we invite you to come. Others may need to come and pray here at the front. Maybe you want somebody to pray for you about a specific prayer, a specific request. It's good to have people praying with us when we want to do that too. God, thank you for teaching us how to pray. We never arrive at that. I'm still learning how to pray. And Lord, all of us need to continue just to keep praying. But know as we do, that we really do experience your presence and your power in a very specific and real way. Thank you for that, Lord. Help these now who need to make commitments. In Jesus' name, amen.